Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are the Morning Shift, and we are live from Falcons training camp in Flowery Branch. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Dylan is back at the station. Gordon producing us live out here. This hour is brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. We're going to get to some audio from Ryan Neusel and Jake Matthews from over the weekend momentarily. But speaking of the guys, we can see straight into the gym here at Falcons training camp. All the guys are getting the workout in. Mike just pointed out that a player was looking straight out at us and told us not to look.
It's not a big deal.
Go for it.
It was Tyler Allgeier.
And what is
he was up against the glass about 20 feet away. And we've all done this. Tyler Allgeier is looking at us. And I said, don't look. What does he think Allie did? Immediately. Like, almost had whiplash.
Yeah.
Like, she needs a neck brace. She turned around so fast. Locked eyes with Tyler Allgeier as he's getting his legs winged.
You better be careful. You can get lost in those eyes.
Tyler Allgeier is looking at us like, what are you guys doing?
I mean, I've only been with y'all for 4 months now, but you're realizing how uncool I am, right? I have no
Allie,
chill.
Don't look.
What's funny is that's my reputation. Anything moves in like a 100-foot peripheral, and I'm like turning my head. And the first person to turn around is you. I mean, and then our conversation is just completely went off the rails from there.
Yeah.
If you want to do good reality TV, like follow a radio show like that talks, like a talk radio show, like and do that as a reality show, like on and off the air, you would get abso-freaking-lutely the best type of stuff. You'd get drama. You'd get
fun. I don't recommend it, man.
I mean, you would get so much. Well, I mean,
I mean, you've been part of a reality show before, so you know, Mike.
No, I don't recommend it, man. I hated Hard Knocks. That was absolute misery. I've told you guys a story before. When we were on Hard Knocks, I had a guy that always was watching the camera in our meeting room to the point where we got to know him but never saw him.
Yeah.
And we would talk into the microphones that were on the table, and we'd ask him a question, yes or no, and he would do the camera because it was a remote control camera. He'd go left and right or up and down to answer yes or no.
That's funny.
Hey, are you watching right now? And it would go zzz, zzz. God, he's watching right now.
Oh, that's great.
Then one day, a month later, he comes up and he's like, hey, by the way, I'm the camera operator. It's like, oh.
You're the guy.
Yeah.
That's you?
Yeah, thanks, man.
I guess it's different. But have you ever seen Night at the Roxbury?
Yeah.
When he would just call the credit card girl? Just because he had a crush on her, and all he knew was her voice.
Yes, it's different. It's different.
I don't recall that scene exactly, but your mind is crazy with knowing
that's who
like
he ended 30 up with.
Year old references.
That's who Chris Kattan's character
it's
ended up with.
It's an encyclopedia. It's an archive.
Hey, real quick before we get to this audio, Mike, I haven't given you a chance to tease your top five Tuesday. What do you have coming up?
Oh, my gosh. This was a battle this morning. Top five Tuesday ended up being, because I started with Adam Sandler stuff on the brain, so I ended with top five fictional athletes.
Oh.
Top five fictional athletes. You are not going to want to
miss. Let me tell you something.
I like this
top five fictional athletes.
The first, I have a name that just popped
Matt
in my
Sorensen.
Head.
Sorry. What? That's a fictional athlete.
Okay.
And if he's not on it, I will.
We riot.
I will fight you.
Okay.
And you will beat me up.
I think everybody probably knows like one through three. Everybody probably knows one through three. But look, it was a walk down memory lane for me to get some of these clips together. So it's going to be a lot of fun. But yeah, top. And don't come at me with Rudy. He's not fictional. Rudy was a real person. Okay.
I mean,
Rudy Rudiger was a real person.
Controversy's already starting.
The storyline wasn't. I'm just saying this. Like. There needs to be two quarterbacks on the list.
And
there are two,
Googling?
But it probably is not the two
and
that
I,
you want.
And I know two of them. I've said one of them already.
Okay.
I've said one of
there
them already.
There are two quarterbacks on the list, yes.
Okay. All right. Well, that will be coming up at 7:40. I do really like that topic. But over the weekend, we got some audio from some of the Falcons players here at training camp. I want to start with Ryan Neusel. He was talking about how he thinks his play style could be different from Drew Dahlman's.
I'd say it's pretty similar. Just the whole line is a general. I think we all have pretty much the same style of play.
Or you're saying it's similar.
I would agree with Ryan Neusel on that one. I think it's the easiest thing is to say that that's why you didn't notice. That's why if you walked around to the hill, if you went on the hill today, and you ask everybody, how many games did Drew Dahlman play last year and how many games did Ryan Neusel play, people wouldn't know. But you would, no one would know the fact that Neusel played 8 games and I think started 7 of them, Mike.
Yeah. And you know, the interesting part there is right there in that, you know, 3-second answer from him where he's saying they're pretty similar. He's saying that we're all pretty similar, right? I mean, that's exactly what you're kind of pointing to. And Dylan and I got a chance to catch up with Chris Lindstrom on Sunday. You guys can check that out on the Odyssey app if you did not get a chance to hear that yesterday when we replayed it. But he kind of mentioned the fact that I asked him about how well he fits as a puzzle piece to Dwayne Ledford's wide zone offense. And he was just talking about, hey, it's been perfect for me. And I asked him, like, hey, you know, how does a guy who's an all-pro continue to get better and continue to strive during training camp and during the offseason? And he's like, I've been focused on a lot of the same things because I do what I do and I try to do it well. And that's the communication with Ryan Neusel and with Kayla McGarry on the double teams of, hey, I'm off, I'm going. You take him over. You know, you, me, things like that. You know, am I reaching one gap over? Am I reaching 1.5 gaps over? Am I trying to capture a nose guard on Ryan Neusel if I'm at the right guard spot? So Ryan Neusel kind of mentioned it right there. It's like, we all kind of do the same thing, and we're all kind of good at the same thing, and that's what makes us fit really well in this offense and, you know, continue to get better at certain things.
Well, and he was also talking about whether there's been conversations about Penix being able to scramble a little bit more.
Definitely helps in some aspects. It's always nice knowing where the quarterback is first, but it's definitely good at being able to scramble a little bit in just certain situations.
I want to answer this first because I would love to get an offensive lineman who's played tight end, tackle, pretty sure guard, and maybe even a center snap or two, opinion on this. But I think there's a fine line. Like, I would dare to say that most offensive linemen don't want a guy that all he does is run around, like Kyler Murray wants to kind of do his off-schedule plays and stuff. But I also think that you don't want a guy who just can't move either. I think Penix could fit perfectly in what a dream scenario for an offensive lineman would be, is that the guy that's big enough to get out of a sack like Big Ben could back in the day, that can step up nimbly in the pocket and maybe slide as he does it and complete a pass. But Mike, from what I've talked to more people like you, and that's offensive linemen, is that moving too much is a problem and not being able to move is a problem.
What you want is the threat of movement, right? And I know that sounds crazy to say. It's like not so much about the movement. It's about the threat of the movement. Now, if you can start off the game in the first quarter and Michael Penix on a 3rd and 10 rips off a 15-yarder, like absolutely. Because you know why? What happens for the remainder of that game is that defensive lineman is no longer putting his head down and running into your chest and trying to push the pocket. Now all of a sudden he's using his hands, and now all of a sudden his eyes are in the backfield. Now, all of a sudden, it's very calculated as to whether or not he can rush the passer. Now, all of a sudden, he's kind of trying to keep tabs on where the quarterback is and whether or not he's leaving an open A-gap and the quarterback's able to step up and have a big gainer up the middle. So, yeah, I mean, there is something to it where you're like, hey, you know, he's rolling out. I've got a jersey full of, you know, I got a handful of jersey or a handful of pads or something like that. You don't ever want to get those holding calls. But at the same time, if you can get that threat, man, if you can just have that simple threat, and I mentioned it Sunday, almost a Baker Mayfield level of threat. I don't need him to be, you know, I definitely don't need him to be Jaden or Kyler. I don't need him to even be Lamar. I don't need him to be even like a Bo Nix. I just need that small threat, maybe once a game, maybe twice a game, where he can pick up a first down with his legs. It completely changes what the offensive line is dealing with up front. I mean, just picture it, man. Just have somebody run in to you with their forehead to your chest, and then have somebody run in with their hands to your chest. That's the difference you're dealing with the pass rush if you have a quarterback who can get first downs with their legs.
Well, another Falcon we got to hear from over the weekend was Jake Matthews, and he was talking about if he's noticed any subtle differences. I'm sorry. There's a yellow jacket flying around us right now, and everyone is swatting it away.
Bo's had a rough recent history with these things, man.
I know.
He's gun-shy right now.
I tried to keep it straight, but I'm sorry. I mean, it was too funny to see you swatting at that thing. So Jake Matthews was talking about if he's noticed any subtle differences in confidence and things like that in Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah. You know, I remember when he got the Giants start, you know, that first week of practice, even I was, you know, got to get used to his cadence, you know, got to get comfortable with him. Just felt a little off. And then by the time the game came around, we were clicking. But, you know, you look back, he gets all those games in, and then we've got all spring going together. And, it feels like we're in a really good spot. And, I mean, he's on it in the huddle. His play calling is crisp. And, I don't know too much about the quarterback position, playing it, but he seems like he's firing on all cylinders.
I think we all hope to achieve in life the comfortability that Jake Matthews has in year, like, whatever, year 11.
With the media and on the field.
Yeah, he's
just
like,
yeah, man, I am what I am.
I mean, yeah, you know, sure.
Breaking news, I don't play quarterback.
Yeah, I don't know anything. I don't know what to tell you other than, yeah, his cadence was different, but now we know it. I mean, I freaking love Jake Matthews, man. That's exactly what you want an NFL player that you draft in the top 10 to do. Start every game, stay out of trouble, and, you know, just and handle the media with an answer of nothing.
I thought it was awesome, too. Dylan and I, when we talked to Chris Lindstrom, he talked about how he's, like, laying in bed and he can kind of hear the cadence of Michael Penix.
That's a little creepy, but it's cool,
you know,
at the same time.
Well, and it goes along the lines of what I've talked to you guys about. It's like, man, you get done and you go to your room and it's like, everything that stresses you out during the day just flies right back through your memory. Like, you all of a sudden, your muscles get tense and you're gritting your teeth and you're reliving a play where it didn't end up good for you or you slipped and you're like, God, I got to do that better tomorrow. And you think about it 10 times out of 10. But, you know, Chris kind of brought up the fact that you can tell when a quarterback messes the cadence up by their voice inflection.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, when he steps up and they go, blue 82, said hut, hut. You know, that's the hard count. Or blue 82, said hut. Right, and a quarterback sometimes will walk up and it'll be on two, and he'll go sit hut, hut, you know, like, oh man, my bad. And it's just funny to hear that from Little Lion's perspective because you're just like, dude, I know your cadence well enough to know I know you messed that up, but it's all good. It's all good.
Is that kind of like the meme that's on like Twitter and Instagram where it's like the girl and the guy in the bed, and she's got an angry face, and he's sitting there like he's intrigued, and she's like, I bet he's thinking about a girl, and he's like,
exactly right.
He's like, God. So. That's his hard count, yeah.
Hut,
Chris Lindstrom's sitting there and petting his wife's like, what's he thinking about? Another girl, something. He's like, so yeah. If he does the hard hut, that's the hard count. Okay, cool. He's like hearing Michael Penix's voice in his head.
Well, he's had the cadence used to be, you know, you go on down, set, or go when I was in high school, and you just walk – the quarterback walk up to the line of scrimmage, and he'd give you diamond, silver, or gold. You know, down, set, go. Diamond, silver, diamond, down, salute. It's just craziness, man. But it's fun to hear those guys talk about that because it is a massive thing. It's a massive thing. We talked about Kirk Cousins in the quarterback Netflix special, mm-hmm. and he's on the sideline week one going, dude, there's motions. I'm trying to time up the snap. I'm in the pistol. I'm putting this guy in, but I got to go on a hard count because T.J. Watt's jumping the hard count. So I got to put the guy in motion a half second earlier because he's going to hit the snap if I try to hard count T.J. Watt. There's a lot of moving parts, man. So the fact that all these guys are talking about things like how well-spoken the huddle is, how in command he is, how the fact that, you know, he's taking control of things and how good the cadence has been, is it's important that this team hit the ground running because you did not do that in week one last year. And week one this year is a divisional matchup right out of the blocks that you need to go win.
Yeah. Dude, I've done some research on your top five list coming up at 7:40.
Okay.
I think you've bit off more than you can chew.
Is that right?
Because I'm now seeing so many names that I'm like, that's technically a sports character.
We'll see,
man. I mean,
man.
That's a sport. I mean,
we'll see what Terry Fontenot thinks, too.
Billy Hoyle better be on there, is all I'm saying, Gordon.
That is coming up at 7:40, Top 5 Tuesday. Mike is doing Top Fictional Athletes.
Top Fictional Athletes.
Okay, athletes. That'll be coming up at 7:40. But coming up next, we're going to go in the huddle, and Baker Mayfield's contract has been reworked. We'll give you those details next with the Morning Shift, live from Falcons training camp on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Yes, we are the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're live from Falcons training camp up in Flowery Branch. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Dylan is back at the station, and Gordon is on site with us. Reminder today that Terry Fontenot is going to be Fontenot. I was like, wait a minute, I said that wrong. Terry Fontenot is going to be joining us right at 8 a.m. today. And we're going to go in the huddle in a second. But we're seeing the guys work out right now at Falcons training camp. Mike, you've been through training camp. You've been through these workouts. Would they be working out any lighter today since pads are going on, or everything pretty much status quo?
They're doing what I would call right now activation-style workouts, you know, like power shrugs, power high pulls, barbell RDLs, things like that. Nothing too crazy, doesn't look like. But, no, I wouldn't say it's lighter. I just think that it's not – they're not activating the muscles you would think of as your core, like Olympic lifts. Like, I don't see any, like, heavy deep squats going on or things like that. But – No, I mean, look, you have to at some point, though, right? If you're practicing football at least every other day, you have to be able to have that upkeep. Now, a lot of that mass building, if you will, that strength training is kind of over, but you have to have the upkeep to be able to, you know, kind of keep it where it is. So it is the weight room right now is bustling, to say the least, and a lot of those, you know, barbells are on the floor. There are some in the racks, I'll put it that way, and then also some guys getting the upper body activation on some things like chin-ups, pull-ups, things like that. So it's good stuff, man. I you say that I went through this. These guys are their lifts are head and shoulders above what I was doing at this phase of my career. So that weight room going there.
Yeah, it's a lot better than what you had a hotel gym. They have a gym. I mean, a real weightlifting facility.
It's a beast in there, man. It's beautiful.
I thought it was interesting because Tyler Allgeier joined the man who you looked into the eyes of earlier, Allie, joined Sam and Greg on Saturday, and they're like, "Oh, what do you squat?" And he was like, "I don't know." He's like, "I just maintain. I just do three plates every time. It's just three plates on on each side." He's like, "It's just maintain. He's not in the, like Mike said, he's not in the phase of, well, let me go out here and go for a personal record or anything."
Yeah, a lot of that kind of ends, and I think that's one of the things, you know, I used to do some high school weight training and things like that. Hey, when you were in year three of the NFL, how much were you squatting? It's like, not as much as I probably was my junior year of college. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not the way it is. You start getting dinged up, and a lot of it is more upkeep when you start getting to a certain level, man. But, you know, these guys are obviously in there grinding, and love to see it, man. They're getting after it in there right now.
Yeah, that workout room is very, very busy. There's also a long line of fans starting to build up to come into training camp today. If you are on your way up here, put on that sunscreen, drink some water. It's going to be very hot. Reminder, we are in a heat advisory until 8 o'clock tonight. So that conveniently is during training camp. It is going to be hot, very, very hot today. Wear a hat, wear shorts, whatever you need to do to get through. All right, Dylan, let's go in the huddle. So Baker Mayfield had his contract reworked. He's now going to have $30 million of guaranteed money in 2026. That was a year that previously had no guarantees for him.
And we talked about this a little bit last year, Allie, where it seems like, and Bo can back me up on this, there has become this middle market of quarterback in the NFL, right? It's like you got your top tier guys, your top five or whatever that are making Dak Prescott money in $60 million a year. Baker is starting to ease that way because he's proven himself, but you've had the Geno Smith, the Sam Darnolds, the Kirk Cousins, the Baker Mayfield-style contracts that are not quite to that level. I think Baker is just very comfortable where he's at. I don't see any reason the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, with the situation they've got going on, would not want to give him everything guaranteed for next season. He's proven himself to be a quality quarterback and a great leader inside that locker room.
Yeah, and I think Baker Mayfield, after the last two seasons, he's deserving of the – I mean – didn't he have like almost 40 touchdowns or right at 40 touchdowns
last year?
Yeah, I think
he was north of that. Yeah.
And maybe 14 picks. He's turned into exactly what you thought he would be out of Oklahoma. And I don't expect Tampa to let him out of their sights. I would assume that a bigger contract and a longer contract is coming pretty soon because technically his last year with them is in 27. I believe that's been voided, or that can be voided. He'd be unrestricted free agent, so it's an option there. So they've got to go ahead and lock him in soon, moving forward. I would think maybe if he has another year like he did last year, they'll work on a long term extension.
Wouldn't doubt it.
Well, the Broncos gave wide receiver Cortland Sutton a 4-year, $92 million extension.
Y'all better get ready because
I was thinking the same thing.
Drake London is going to get paid eventually. If Garrett Wilson can get the deal he got, there's no reason in my mind that Drake London won't get that. And it'll probably be more because that's what happens. It always gets to be reset. And I'm happy for Cortland Sutton, obviously. A guy that deserves it, and they're going to be good again, I think.
I don't think there's any doubt. I expect them to even be more improved than they were last year. I think Bo Nix in year two, everybody starts to settle in. That defense has got such a good defensive front, really kind of underrated in terms of what they are defensively. And that offensive line, man-to-man, as good as it gets in the NFL. I mean, they're kind of knocking on the doorstep of the Philadelphia Eagles when it comes to offensive line play out there. So, yeah, man, it's just when you have that rookie quarterback contract, you can do a lot of different things. Hopefully the Falcons, fast forward 1 year, will be dealing with a lot of the same situations.
Well, former Falcon Cordarrelle Patterson broke the news on Twitter that the Steelers have released him.
In Cordarrelle Patterson way, oh, my old broke down body. If you've ever gotten to be around him and cover him, he's a fun player. He's a really good dude. Gotten to be around him for, what, two or three years here. It must be there at him, because I didn't think him and Arthur Smith would ever separate at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, he brought him in here for his entire time he was here, and then immediately went and signed him in Pittsburgh. So I just think that for what he is and what his body has been through, he's going to have a tough time holding up. And he didn't hold up his last year here either.
No, he didn't. And, you know, it's interesting, too, when you bring up the kind of the cool dude he is, and I think this kind of gets lost on football fans a lot of times. One of the reasons he had as long of a career as he did and was able to completely transform a football player is because of that personality that he has.
Yeah.
Because of the relationship with the coaches, the openness and the willingness to have those conversations of, I know you're a wide receiver, but I need you to get carries in the backfield. I mean, you haven't had many people come into the NFL and completely change the player they are compared to what they were in college, the way Cordero Patterson has. And so, yeah, man, an ode to him, if you will, of just being able to kind of laugh at the situation, man. They let me go on my day off, man.
Yeah, I think we forget, too. He's been in the league for a while now.
Long time.
He got a bad rap at Tennessee when he was there. And if this is it for him, I'm not sure if it will be. I'd like to think he'll latch on at some point this season with someone.
Yeah, maybe.
But, man, he's done well for himself. It's kind of impressive.
Yeah, I agree. I completely agree.
Well, kind of an odd story to wrap this up. Christian Wilkins, who was released by the Raiders last Thursday, so apparently kissed a fellow player on the head, and his teammate took offense to it.
Well, that's not – it's one report that was on the Pat McAfee show that I think
– it was Schefter, I
Schefter
believe.
Talked about. I had also heard, or maybe Pat McAfee's the one that talked about it, and then Schefter reported on it. But also, I had read, and I don't know if it was Josina Anderson's reporting on it, but somebody had put out that he was tickling somebody's feet or something, a player's foot. And I don't know, that's alleged. Alleged, I don't, it's alleged. It's just on the internet.
I say it one time, alleged.
Yeah, allegedly.
Allegedly.
They're all weird. And for that to be why you're released, Mike, means that there's a lot going on in the background. We heard the rehab stuff. That clearly has to be part of it. These things have to be part of it. I mean, I don't even know. I don't know how this works. Is that I guess it's considered if you unwanted, sexual.
It'll be considered whatever they want it to be considered far you want to take it.
I mean, technically, by the rule of
right.
the law, I've been through those videos.
Do whatever you want.
Technically, that's sexual harassment.
Yeah, you can claim it to be whatever you want. And here's what else I'll say about this, man. I saw, you know, there's some people that don't follow what Christian Wilkins is or some of these stories. You know, you get on the socials and there's this tweet that goes off about Pat McAfee and the fact that he kissed a guy on the head. The amount of people that are like, oh, man. Hey, these guys are so soft these days, they can't take a little bit of just playful. Here's the thing, dude. If you really think that that's the end of the story, that he kissed somebody on the forehead and then got cut,
right?
Then I've got news for you. That is so far from being the end of the story in this thing. That is the absolute tip of the iceberg when it comes to this story. So don't these guys are just soft, man. They couldn't deal with it. Shut up. All right, I promise you that there is probably a journal of situations like this behind this story, if that were to be one of the reasons. Now, do the Raiders want you to believe that's the reason? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. They don't want you to believe that's the reason. But, you know, it is kind of what it is. And that's the tip of the iceberg as far as I'm concerned in that storyline.
There's also a lot of videos about when he was at Clemson and in the NFL where he's a guy that'll grab you on
little
the ground.
Handsy in there.
It's
a little weird.
You know, grabbing's one thing. I mean, but where you grab is a whole different story.
Yeah, man. That's a little handsy. That's all. A little handsy.
Well, coming up, we have got Top 5 Tuesday. Mike is in charge of it today. Bo is already slamming Mike's list without even hearing it yet.
I am ready.
Imagine that.
Top 5 fictional athletes, Allie. And it's bulletproof. I'm just telling you it is, man. It's ironclad.
I don't want your life.
That is next with the Morning Shift live from Falcons training camp on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's the Morning Shift live from Falcons training camp in Flowery Branch. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson and Bo Morgan. Dylan is back at the home studio. This hour has been brought to you by Zerez. Book an appointment today with Zerez, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. Top 5 Tuesday is moments away. Seems like another list that's going to be highly scrutinized from Mike today. After we argue about that, though, I want you to stick around because Terry Fontenot is joining us. What do you guys want to hear from him today?
You know, one of the first things that I'm planning on talking to Terry about is he, you know, say what you want to about where this team's at personnel-wise, but I think it has to be fun. I think one of the more fun parts of the job for Terry Fontenot has got to be when you look on that hill and you see 5,000 people and you see a Bijan Robinson jersey, a Michael Penix jersey, a Drake London jersey, whoever it may be, and realize, I did that, man. Like, I'm the guy who pulled the string to be able to deliver those players to the fans, and now there's kids out there wearing his jersey, getting his autograph, and wow. he's the guy that orchestrates all that. I think that's got to be one of the funner parts of the job for a GM.
Mike, I would dare to tell you that not everybody's like you that just, you know, the ego and takes the pride and everything. Some of us just, you know that's our job, and we don't need to puff our chest out or beat on our chest. But hey, I did that. Oh, that's me. I mean, I know I'm not like that.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
And I've gotten to know Terry a little bit.
That's the squid we've all got to know here.
I'll be honest. I have been thinking about knowing that Terry was going to come on, and it got me to thinking, like, what is it like for a GM during training camp? Because I think the general just kind of thought is, well, you know, he can kind of sit back and watch the guys do their thing and watch the players and see how they're developing, that kind of stuff. But I tend to think he's every little thing. He's like, see, all right, let me get my list, or hey, how he's got ears. Hey, yeah. Are you hearing about what so and so's doing, or how's Justin feels his toe? You know, like he's thinking, yeah. Like, what is a day-to-day a training camp like for a GM? Because, Allie, you're working out players on off days. You're bringing in guys. Like, when was DJ Chark signed? Friday, which was what? An off day for the actual team. It didn't practice.
Mm-hmm.
So there's these little things that he's probably doing in this checklist that he has to do. Or extensions are always getting done. Last year, we play a preseason game, have an injury to Braylon Trice. Next thing you know, Matthew Judon's traded for, while we're out here at camp. I think we might have been on the air or just got off the air when that was announced. And then later that, maybe 2 days later, Justin Simmons. So they're working still on this team, and not just the 90 guys are out there. They're trying to make changes then. So kind of like what the day-to-day likes for a GM and not just the what we think about or what we see.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting conversation for sure. And it's just there's so many moving parts, man, so many moving parts for a guy like that. Before we get to Top 5 Tuesday, you guys want to take a stab if you know anybody on the Top 5 list? Top 5 fictional athletes? You guys just want to take a stab? Just
well, you looked at me blankly when I said Matt Sorensen because he's from Friday Night Lights.
Okay.
That's the real – that's the made-up version.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That's the TV show.
Here's the problem. It's fictional athletes. You got to keep that in mind. Some of these people that you're talking about, Rudy Rudiger, they actually exist in real life. So,
which would be nonfiction.
Thank you. And Bo the librarian.
excuse me, sir. The book you're looking for is a nonfiction.
You're in the wrong section, sir.
Well, I said Shane Falco earlier.
Yeah.
I think he needs to be on there.
Okay.
I think I'm interested because I'm not sure if Benny the Jet qualifies.
Ooh, spicy.
Because yes, he was an athlete at the end, but he was just a Sandlot player for the movie.
That's a good
until
point.
The very end.
Mm.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
So does Benny DeJet qualify? Is Wild Thing on there?
I would say he qualifies,
I
yes.
mean,
I'm curious how outlandish you went. Like, is Happy Gilmore on there?
Yeah. Or what about Tin Cup?
Ooh.
Kevin Costner's character from Tin Cup.
These are all good
or,
guesses.
Or McAvoy, the rival.
Yeah.
Ricky Bobby.
Yeah.
Ooh, good one.
So you know, Stroke Race is yeah. that's an old NASCAR. Yeah, Cole Trickle. I mean, there's so many play. You know, it's Jesus Shuttlesworth make the list. I don't know.
Yeah.
Billy Hoyle, Sidney Dean. I mean, there's lots of ways you could go.
All right, Dialon. Without further ado, let's do this thing. As always, reminder, today's Mic'd Up brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Coming at family style at one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations. It is Tuesday. It is Top 5 Tuesday. Reminder, we do have Terry Fontenot coming on just at the top of the hour. So if you want to react and respond to the Top 5 Tuesday, do it on the socials at 929 Morning Shift or at all our handles right there. What do you got, Bo?
I got a question. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Okay, go ahead.
Is billiards players considered an athlete? Because Fast Eddie Felsen from the movie The Hustler could be on there as well.
Okay.
Or Minnesota Fats.
Or what's my bowler's name?
Pete
Woody
Weber.
Harrison.
Oh, no. Oh, from Kingpin?
Yeah. I feel like that's along the same lines. But, look, I'm going to go ahead and throw this out there. I didn't do any honorable mentions today. I
wow,
didn't because
how?
it was too wide of a blanket for honorable mentions because everybody y'all just talked about could have probably in that conversation. I guess you would have added Shane Falco or Ricky Bobby or whatever it may
Big
be.
Big Earn McCracken.
Yeah, so you could
Bobby
go
Boucher.
As long. You can go all the way down the list if you want. But without further ado, Dylan, get to number 5.
Number 5.
Jimmy Vaughn.
You want Vaughn?
I know he hadn't done very well against this guy, but I got a hunch he's due.
Everybody sing it with me. A lot of head nodding
wow,
going on out here in Flowery Branch. A lot of head nodding going out here in Flowery Branch. It is. It is the wild thing, Mr. Ricky Vaughn.
Yeah.
From Major
be.
League 1, Major League 2, Major League 3, whatever you want to talk. Back to the minors, the buzz, whatever you want to say. Yeah, sing it. That's all good. Made it. Let it flow through your veins. Ricky Vaughn, fair or foul? How are we feeling?
I like this one. Yeah, I think this is a pretty good pick.
I was kind of shocked that nobody brought that up. Ricky Vaughn.
I said wild thing.
He did say wild thing.
Did any of the Mighty Ducks make it? I mean,
I honestly,
because I don't know how that goes either.
I would if one of them
had
made it, it would have been Gordon Bombay, which felt a little bit weird to put the coach as a fictional athlete.
But he was an athlete.
I know, but he was an athlete. So he did not make it.
Okay, I'm just curious because I just keep firing off.
Stop asking questions. Stop asking questions.
I'm sorry.
Dialon, let's get to number 4. Computer quit.
Technical difficulties.
Is Dylan alive?
Let's go.
There we go.
You're looking now coming in Los Angeles. You got Moxon looking to come in.
Yeah, and you've taken more snaps than he's taken.
Got a game to win. Let's go. Got a game to win. Let's go.
Watch me for the signals. Stay focused. And don't worry, son. I'm behind you.
I'm behind you, baby. Johnny Moxon from Varsity Blues, number 4 on your list.
That's the clip he went with, but that's great. He's so good. I'm glad you put that on there. Because,
you've taken more snaps than him.
Yeah. What's great is if you go back and watch that movie, he's sitting there reading a little book.
Yeah.
And a ball comes over, and he hits the ref with it. And John Voight's character, he gets so mad. But, you know, the other thing for me is when they're at the barbecue, and he's like, If what's the coach's name? He wasn't such a jerk. My son be starting court. Oh, you think so? You think you're better than Lance?
Yeah.
And he hits his dad right in the nose, and then the dad sees him hit the mascot, and he's like, he did that on purpose.
All right, pipe down. This is not your top 5.
Sorry.
Speaking of quarterbacks that were on the sideline that got surprised and thrust into action, Dylan, hit number 3.
Number 3.
Gotta get to work. That's right.
Yes,
you know. Come on.
How about Willie Beeman from Any Given Sunday? Hopefully you get – Bo's rolling his eyes right now.
I mean
– What?
I mean,
guy was fighting for number 1 on my list.
I mean, Shane Falco
– No, stop.
Was not only a better college quarterback at Ohio State when he played in that Sugar Bowl, but –
Well, you know Willie Beman. He took that payment from that guy to get that suit to go to that wedding.
Yeah,
and he was made to be a demon the rest of his career.
Well, now
of fact, when he got to the pros, somebody tried to move him to cornerback.
He was the Todd Gurley of fictional quarterbacks.
he's a Lamar Jackson, if you will. I mean,
well,
you
I
know what I mean? All the
meant.
Questions through the draft about what? Hey, you know, is this guy going to play wide receiver? No,
yeah,
he's
true.
A quarterback and he's really good.
I just meant that he had gotten in trouble for the. Money.
All right, the character that thrust this list into the situation, Dylan. Let's go to number 2.
Number 2.
Mister, you gotta wear a helmet.
Don't worry about it.
Oh yeah, bring that on, man. Oh, come
11.
Yes!
Oh, God!
That hurt a little, but I'm all right.
What the hell are you doing?
364 more days till next year's hockey tryouts. I got a tough up.
Yeah!
Oh, there you go. Hey, Mr. Happy Gilmore himself right there sitting at number two on the list. Both of you guys have watched that movie.
Yeah,
Allie watched it yesterday. She said she liked it too.
I did like it.
Take
I mean,
it for what it's worth.
It's like a nice trip down memory lane. You get to see all your old friends.
Dude, it's fun.
It's fun.
Like, if you can't enjoy fun movies, and you're just not the kind of person I want to hang out with.
All right. Look, I got one more left in the list. I don't want you guys to say a name, but just nod if you think you know what it is.
Okay.
Do you know what number one is on the list?
No.
Are you serious?
I have no clue. I have no clue.
Neither one of y'all know what number one is. I thought this was the easiest number one in the history of my top five.
I would be – if you
– Don't say the name.
If you go – If you go to a name that was said earlier by Allie and I,
if it was said by me, I know what it is.
Which is about a sport that we both like a lot. I'm going to be a little bit disappointed because the movie makes fun of the
Ricky
sport.
Bobby, no.
Okay, good.
All right, Dylan, go ahead and hit it.
Number one.
It's suicide. You've seen him. You know how strong he is. You can't win.
Adrian always tells the truth. No, maybe I can't win. Maybe the only thing I can do is just take everything he's got. But the pee-pee. He's going to have to kill me.
There you go. Rocky Balboa. I can't believe neither one of you guys had Rocky Balboa at one. What are we even doing here?
I don't know.
The guy's got his own statue as a fictional athlete.
I think it's probably because.
He's in the Boxing Hall of Fame.
I think it's probably because I sometimes do confuse that movie with real life. I mean, I go back, and everybody wants to talk about Hagler Hearns in the first round of Hagler Hearns. It didn't have crap on the first round of Rocky versus Clubber Lang, all right?
Oh, man.
That was the greatest first round in the history of boxing, Rocky versus Clubber. And I mean, they went at it, man. I mean, just toe-to-toe swinging.
Pulled that cut from, obviously, that's Rocky IV when he's made up his mind to go face Ivan Drago over in Russia.
After he killed Apollo.
After he killed Apollo, man. I'm kind of shocked that neither one of y'all had Rocky.
I've never seen Rocky, and therefore, it doesn't
I am usually
come,
the non-movie watcher.
It doesn't come this, top of mind
this
for me.
The seat's taken, okay? you're not allowed to sit in the seat. That is abysmal.
I'll stand with Allie. I haven't seen Rocky either.
Dylan hasn't seen it either.
You shouldn't be siding with
him
in movies either.
You know what? Actually, Dylan, it's worse that you haven't seen it than Allie.
Why
worse.
Is it worse?
Wow.
Because
careful here.
Because you're
play yourself, Bo.
Because you're a grown man who loves sports, watches sports movies. I know you have to see. It's like part of growing up. I think is a mania to watch Rocky. All of them except for you stop at four because no one needs to watch that crap with Tommy Dreamer in it.
Yeah. Bo, you want to know even worse part?
Creed,
I've seen Creed. Yeah, but I've seen Creed, but I haven't seen Rocky.
Creed and appreciate it if you've never seen Rocky.
Oh,
wait. What about the guy from Days of Thunder? What was his name?
Cole Trickle.
That's what I brought up earlier. Cole Trickle.
He should have been in that list.
Do you think Cole Trickle over? Who would you put him over? So, like, just to rehash. So number five was Ricky Vaughn, the Wild Thing. Number four, Johnny Moxon. Number three, Willie Beeman. Number two, Happy Gilmore. Number one, Rocky Balboa.
Probably there's so many great baseball fictional characters you could have left Wild Thing out. I mean, what was the guy from The Natural? Roy Hobbs?
Yeah.
I mean, he would have been – to me, he's over Ricky Vaughn if you want to get down to it.
Ooh, what about the guy from The Fan, Wesley Snipes?
Oh, wow. What a pool. You've seen that? You haven't seen Rocky? What are we doing?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I thought you were about to bring up Kevin Costner's character in For Love of the Game.
Oh
and then
gosh,
I was going to
what are we
I
doing?
Was going to unhook your microphone and just throw it.
I mean, he's a good one, too, though.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
That's a terrible movie.
Anyway.
It's not a sports movie. It's a love movie.
Can argue all y'all want. That's a perfect list. Thank you guys for listening.
If you want to criticize Mike's list, feel free to. I have listed them all at 929 Morning Shift on Twitter. I would love to hear your input there. So would Mike. He wants to hear you tear apart his list. Coming up next, Terry Fontenot is going to join us live from Falcons training camp. It's an exciting time to have him on. We've got padded practice, the first one kicking off today. He's going to join us. I also kind of wonder what his fictional athlete would be. What would be on his list? And clue?
Good question.
I don't know.
Damon would be on.
Maybe we'll ask him next. But it's the Morning Shift live from Falcons training camp on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And
can't believe a Philly sports fan has not seen Rocky, Dylan. The Odyssey app.